Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever had a moment where you paused and you thought, this is my life? Like, this is the one chance I get at living my life. And you realized maybe that you weren't completely happy with how your life was going. It might have been in a very specific area of your life, maybe your career, your finances, your marriage, or your parenting. Or it may have been the whole thing. And you knew you needed a change, but maybe you didn't know how. That's what we're going to do in this series. We're going to talk about how. Now, our new series is called Flip the Script. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at some lies that we believe about ourselves, and we're going to flip the script by finding God's truth, which has the power to set us free. Whether we realize it or not, I think we all believe some lies about ourselves. And we don't know that they're lies, which is why we believe them, right? If we knew they were lies, we wouldn't believe them. But we believe them, and if we believe them, we will end up living our lives according to them. The thing about a lie is that once you believe it's true, you give it the same power over your life as if it were true. Once you believe a lie is true, you give it the same power over your life as if it were true. For example, for centuries, people believed that the earth was flat. And because they believed that lie, they would not venture out too far in their boats for fear that they might go over the edge, right? They believed the lie to be true, and it had the same power over them as if it were true. But when you believe a lie, it changes the way you live. You live your life according to that lie. Another example, parents will try to motivate their kids to eat carrots by telling them carrots improve your eyesight, your vision, right? Except for that they don't. That's a lie. Carrots don't improve your eyesight, but people eat carrots and parents make their kids eat carrots because they believe the lie. Do you know where this lie came from? It's interesting. It came from World War II propaganda. Back in World War II, the British had this newfangled radar on their airplanes, and they didn't want the enemy to know about it, but they had to have some way of explaining why their pilots had such precision and accuracy. And so they made up a story that they were having their pilots eat lots of carrots, which was giving them such great vision, and people started believing it. A guy who wrote one of the writers for the Bugs Bunny cartoons heard that, and he started putting it into the cartoon that if you eat carrots, your vision will get better. And pretty soon it went from Bugs Bunny saying it to everyone saying it. And so millions of people started eating carrots and telling their kids to eat carrots because you'll have better vision. The only problem is, no, that's a lie. It's not true, but because we believe it, it has the same power as truth over our lives. We live our lives by that lie, and millions of people have eaten carrots that have better eyesight. Now, that is not a big deal, right? It is not a big deal if you or I ate carrots for the wrong reasons. But here's what I want you to consider in this series. Is it possible that we believe more significant lies with much more serious implications? Is that possible? That we have accepted some things to be true about our lives that may not be true at all. We've lived our lives by these lies. So they become part of the script of our lives, and it's changed our story. See, it's one thing if you buy into the lie that carrots improve your vision, but it's another thing to buy into the lie that you'll never be good enough, that you've made too many mistakes, that things are never going to change, that God doesn't really love people like you. What if you buy into the lie that you'll never be able to stop, or that you can stop anytime you want, but it's okay because no one's ever going to find out? What if you believe the lie that no one really cares about you, or that you might as well just give up? If you believe those lies, and you will give them tremendous power over your life, because when you believe a lie to be true, you give it the same power as if it were actually true. In this series, what we're going to do is we're going to expose some of the lies that we believe, and we're going to try to find the truth that can set us free. I want to show you a few verses where Jesus talked about truth. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of John. If not, it's totally fine. We'll put the verses on the screen. But let me mention, we give out Bibles for free. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you one at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. And if you're someone who's maybe always like thought, I should read the Bible. I don't know the Bible. Or maybe back January 1st, you're like, this is the year I'm going to read the Bible. And now it's February. And you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of lost that habit. Now would be the perfect time to get started, because in the Bible, you will find a one-year Bible reading plan that we create to help you. Because, man, the Bible's a big book. And you're like, where do I start? And so it kind of helps you each day to have one chapter to read. It takes like 5 minutes to read a chapter. Right now, we're at the beginning of the book of Luke, which is one of the books about Jesus' life and is a great place to get started in reading the Bible. So this would be a perfect time for you to pick up a new habit or recommit to that habit that you wanted to do and start reading the Bible. The best thing I would say, we try to help you with this, is we have a website called vervecatalyst.org. And on that website, you can subscribe to it. In fact, you can get out your phone right now if you'd like to. And in the top right, you can put in your email address, hit send or whatever the button is. And what will happen is every day you'll get emailed to you the chapter to read for that day. So in case you're like, oh, I forget what it is, there it is in your email, along with some notes on that chapter and some questions to help you apply it to your life. So this is a great way to get in the habit of reading the Bible. Okay, so Jesus on truth, John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, Jesus, I am the way and the truth and the life. And then listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so Jesus identifies himself as the truth, and he says that he has truth for us, and that that truth has the power to set us free. That's our goal for this series. We're going to try to recognize lies that we've been living by and embrace God's truth that has the power to set us free. We're calling this series Flip the Script, which is an expression that's used in storytelling and movie making, and it identifies the moment in a story where things go in a different direction than what you expected, right? Like, you're watching the movie, it's got a certain plot, you're following it along, it seems kind of expected, and then all of a sudden, it's unexpected. Something happens. The good guy becomes the bad guy, or the bad guy becomes the good guy, or the victim becomes the warrior, or the kind of homely help becomes this beautiful princess, and it's like, whoa, not what you thought. It flipped the script. I think that maybe we need to flip some scripts in our lives. But because we have these plot lines that we've been following, our life has been going a certain way, there's a script we've been following, but maybe some of us, and again, it may be a certain area of your life, it may be your whole life, some of us need to change direction, but we don't know how. This is how. The way we change our lives is by learning to flip the script. That's how we change our lives. It can also, if you're a parent, it can change your kids' lives. Like, as a parent, you could teach your kids to do this, and if you did, you would be equipping them with a tool that they can use for the rest of their lives. For example, it's a weekday morning, your kids are whining, they're saying, I don't want to go to school today, school's so long, and it's so boring, and it's so nice outside today. And so, instead of our typical response, stop whining and go to school, what if we taught them, what if we said, you need to flip the script? You need to start telling yourself a different story, because if you keep repeating that same script, that same storyline, you're going to live that story. If you keep saying it's going to be such a long day at school, oh man, it is going to feel like the longest day ever. And that is not the story that you want to live today. So flip the script. Find a new script and start living it. Tell yourself a different story. And you can do that. Look, with God's help, you can do that. Can change our lives. It can change our parenting. If you're married, it could change your marriage. Let's say you have a married couple. They've been struggling with issues for years. And what's been happening is they keep telling themselves the same story about each other, right? Like they're reading from that same script, so they're following the same storyline. Right? Maybe it's my husband will never make me happy, or my wife is never going to satisfy me, or I married the wrong person. If you keep reading from that same script, if you keep telling yourself that same story, you are giving it incredible power over your life. How do you change your marriage? You start by flipping the script. You start telling yourself a different story, rejecting the lie that you've come to believe and embracing the truth. Flipping the script, exposing lie, embracing the truth, telling yourself a different story, it allows you to change your life. And that's what we're going to do in this series. We're going to reject lies that we've come to believe, embrace truth that can set us free. We're going to learn to flip the script. And we're starting today with a lie that probably a lot of us believe. The lie is, you don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes. You don't have the energy. You don't have the intelligence, you don't have the patience, you don't have the self-control, you don't have the wisdom, you just don't have what it takes. Now, this lie may sound different in your ear, like there's variations of it. For you, it might be you don't really know what you're doing, or your kids would be better off if they had a different parent, or no one really appreciates you. Or no matter how hard you try, it won't be good enough. Perhaps this lie plays out for you at your job, in your career is where you hear that whisper. Or it might be that when you decide, man, I really need to stop doing that thing that I keep doing that I know I shouldn't keep doing, you hear this whisper, nope, you don't have what it takes to stop doing it. Or it might be with parenting. Every time your kids make a mistake, you feel like it's your fault. Or you're a mom and you scroll through Facebook or Instagram and you see pictures of moms with their kids and you just hear this whisper, you'll never be that creative. You'll never be that fun. You are not that photogenic. You will never be that spiritual. See, the script you're reading tells you that you are not capable, that you are not qualified, that you are not competent. And if you keep reading that script, then you are giving tremendous power to those lies. If you believe those lies are true, you give it the same power in your life as if it were true. It's interesting and may be helpful, I don't know, but there's research that's been done on this lie, and it indicates that men and women tend to struggle with feelings of inadequacy in very different ways. Men will typically blame their circumstances. So when they feel like they don't have what it takes, they assume it's someone else's fault, but women tend to blame themselves and internalize those feelings. For example, there was a study done at Cornell University with an engineering class, and they noticed when the class got really challenging and students started to struggle that the men and women in the class handled it in very different ways. The men who were struggling gave reasons like, the professor is obviously not very good, or the tests that they're giving us just aren't fair. But the women explained their struggle by saying things like, I know I shouldn't have taken this class. I knew I couldn't get an A in this class. I knew I wasn't smart enough to take this class. It seems that women are more likely to assume that their struggle is about themselves, while men will kind of blame something else and say there must be some other reason. A while back, I was working at home. I was at a table. I had papers in front of me. My wife came over, sat down next to me, and put her coffee mug on my papers. And I looked at it, and I said, I don't understand. Why would you put your coffee mug on my papers? Like, you know it might leave a coffee stain on my papers, and knowing that, like, why would you take that chance? Like, if you don't plan for something not to happen, it's probably going to happen. I really thought she might thank me for the wisdom. Like, I really believe that. I thought, you know, she would realize I was helping her rethink a struggle that she had. She'd be very appreciative. No, what she actually said was, what are you talking about? You knocked your drink all over your papers like an hour ago. And what I said to her was, well, that was different. It really seemed different to me at the time. I was like, that's not my fault. While men and women apparently struggle sometimes in different ways with feelings of, I don't have what it takes, we all struggle with it. But one of the ways that this lie, I don't have what it takes, comes into our life and plays on our insecurity is through constant comparisons. There's a verse in the Bible in a book called 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. It says, do not compare yourself. It is not wise. And it is not wise to compare yourself with other people, but man, it is really hard to avoid. And there's never been a time where it's harder to avoid than now, because we live in the time of and in the culture of social media, right? And there are some good things about social media. I'm not totally against it, but like, we do need to understand that what we're seeing is not real, right? It's people putting their best versions of themselves and their lives out for others to see. It's kind of a facade. And so, do you think it's healthy to look multiple times a day, every day, at other people's best versions of themselves? The answer to that question is no. That is not healthy, but we do it, right? And it's what people do. They put their best versions, and that makes sense. We just kind of naturally want to post what we want other people to see in our lives. Like, it would probably be weird. It would seem odd if you posted, like, hating my kids today, you know, be like, oh, or I gained another 2 pounds this weekend, or I realized I'm the worst employee at my job. Like, I should be fired. It just hit me. Like, you wouldn't put that, right? Actually, so last year, my wife put a Facebook post about this. She just started thinking about it. She put a post about how everyone only shows their best on social media, and so everyone's lives looks perfect. And she said, hey, I just want to put out there, my life is not perfect. And my mother immediately called her and said, what's wrong? Is it the kids? Is it your marriage? What's going on? She could not handle it that someone was actually honest on social media. Because all we do is we put out what we want other people to see. And so when you scroll through Facebook or Instagram, you need to remember these are idealized versions of other people's lives. It's not real. And the problem is, it's a comparison trap, right? It plays on your insecurity, and it just starts to reinforce the lie, I don't have what it takes, because my life is not like their life. Their life is perfect. I have a pastor friend named Kyle. He actually kind of inspired this series, and he talks about how he wishes that we could change the names of social media sites to better reflect reality. So instead of Facebook, it might be Facade. And so we would say to each other, oh, do you have a Facade account? We should be Facade friends, right? Like, we should do that. I wish it was, then at least we'd know, right? Or instead of Instagram, we could call it Mirage. Yeah, and so we could say, oh man, I haven't posted to my Mirage account lately, or this picture is awesome, it's a great Mirage. I'm going to post it on my Mirage account. If it was called Mirage, at least like we'd keep that in mind that it's not real, but we don't. And so what we do is we look at airbrushed versions of each other's lives, and it makes us feel insecure. So what do? Well, you see it, and so you put up something from your life that kind of measures up to their life, right? And you put it up, and then you wonder who's looking at it. How many likes did you get? Did anyone comment on it? Who liked my post? You're hoping it's the mom who annoys you, right? You're like, I'll show her who's got a perfect life. Shut up, kids, I'm on Facebook, right? And all of it just feeds all of our insecurity, and it just makes us, it reinforces the lie. I apparently don't have what it takes. But the post and the pictures, they're not real. Without exception, every person you see on there is struggling. Every person you see is struggling. Do you know that they've actually done studies, and it's been proven that if a person is struggling with, like, let's say financial issues, they are more likely to put up pictures of themselves on like a shopping trip. If a person is struggling with marriage issues, they're more likely to put up posts about the romantic date that they had with their spouse. Why? Because we don't want other people to know, right? And so we're trying to hide our insecurities, hide our flaws and our weaknesses. But then we see their posts and we think, wow, their life is perfect. I'm not as good. I'm not as strong. And we start to buy into the lie that I don't have what it takes. And when we buy into the lie, we give it power over our lives. And there's consequences for that, right? Like one is, I think it leads to perfectionism. We start to think the standard's perfect because everybody's perfect out there. And so I start trying to measure myself by the standard that's unreachable. It's unattainable. And that leads to guilt. Because I can't live up to the standard everyone else apparently can. Guilt almost always surfaces in anger. You start to get angry at yourself. Maybe it gets misdirected and you start being angry at your kids for no good reason, or you yell at your spouse, you don't even really know why. And then that leads to fatigue. Like, you spend enough time being tired and guilty, you will feel worn out, you're tired, you just want to quit, but you can't quit. And so that leads to escapism. Right? It's like, I don't like the way I'm feeling, and I can't quit, so I'm going to escape those feelings. And so I don't know how you escape. It might be you read a romance novel, you binge on Netflix, a bottle of wine, you overwork at your job, you redecorate your house, you play video games, you move into a new relationship. Some of us need to flip the script. We need to flip the script. If you keep reading the same storyline, maybe inspired by other people's lives, you need to tell yourself a different story. So, what's the solution for this "you don't have what it takes" lie? How do you flip that script? It's tricky. It's tricky, and there's a reason, and my guess is probably some of you are already getting there. The problem is there's actually some truth to this lie. And so that's the hard part about it. Well, yeah, but it's kind of, there's some truth there. And that's the truth with all lies. Like, if a lie was just absurdly, blatantly untrue, you would never believe it. You'd be like, no. But most lies that we believe, there's some truth in it, but then the truth kind of gets twisted into this lie that's not true. There is some truth in "you don't have what it takes," but here's the whole truth. With God, you have everything you need to do everything you need to do. With God, you have everything you need to do everything you need to do. I want to rephrase that. I want to put it in the first person because I'm really hoping that when you leave today, every time you're tempted to believe this lie that you don't have what it takes, you're going to replace that lie and you're going to embrace this truth. So let's put it in first person. I'm going to put it on the screen. With God, I have everything I need to do everything I need to do. We don't usually do this, but let's read it out loud. You don't have to. If you're like, I'm not doing that, that's fine. But just to help us kind of internalize it and remember it, let's read this out loud. Ready? With God, I have everything I need to do everything I need to do. That's the new script. That is the true script. With God, I have everything I need to do everything I need to do. I want to show you a few places the Bible says this so that you know this is from God, not just like some positive thinking. It's like, oh, he came up with a cool little phrase. that's you, by the way. That was my impression of you. But here's a few places where the Bible says this idea. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it's one of the books of the Bible, one of the verses in that book. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Now, when it says godly life, it's not just talking about a life without so much sin. Okay, it is talking about that. It does mean that God will give you the power, if you look to him, to overcome temptation. That's true, but it's much more than that. So like, the Bible tells us that God has a great plan for our lives, and this verse is saying that he will give you all the power you need to actually live out that life. So the next time you start thinking the lie that you don't have what it takes, you can reject that lie by saying, maybe so, but I know who does. Right? With God, I have everything I need to do everything I need to do. That is true, and that truth can set you free. Here's another time the Bible has this idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, but he said to me, my grace, he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so you may be too inconsistent, but his grace is sufficient. You may feel like you're not self-sufficient, but you are self-sufficient in his sufficiency. With God, I have everything I need to do everything I need to do. That is truth that will set you free. One more. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Which means there is nothing that God has for you to do that you need to do that you can't do, because you can do all things with Jesus. With God, I have everything I need to do, everything I need to do. And when I am weak, that's when I get to experience real strength. That is truth. It is truth that can set you free. Listen, God knows the real you, not the facade, not the mirage, not the kind of airbrushed version of you. He knows your struggles. He knows your insecurities. He knows your failures and your sins. And he loves you more than you dare to imagine. His love and his grace can give you the freedom to break free from this lie that you have been living for so long. And what that means is, you can stop comparing, and you don't have to be perfect. How God feels about you does not change if you fail a test. He does not care if you go to bed with dirty dishes. He's not disappointed in you if you don't get the promotion. He is fine if you go out wearing sweatpants and no makeup. He loves you even if you make your kids a frozen pizza for dinner. The pressure is off. The pressure is off. You can flip the script. You can start living a different story. With God, I have everything I need to do everything I need to do. What this means is, if you're feeling insufficient, well, you are self-sufficient in his sufficiency. If you're hurting, he wants to hold you. If you're feeling broken, he wants to make something beautiful out of your life. If you're disillusioned, he wants to become your delight. If you don't know what to do next, he wants to guide you. If you're feeling guilty, he wants you to feel the joy of his grace. If you're feeling overwhelmed, he wants to give you peace. If you're confused, he wants to give you wisdom. If you're feeling weak, his power becomes perfect in weakness. And if you don't have the strength, you can do all things in his strength. And if you've been living by the old script of I don't have what it takes, you can start living today a new story. You can flip the script with God. I have everything I need to do everything I need to do. So you have a choice. Like, this is not something that you listen to. It's not something that you go, okay, I believe that. This is a choice you have to make. And honestly, it's a choice that you will have to make every single day, probably many times a day, every single day for the rest of your life. The choice is, you can rely on yourself and go for it and realize that you don't really have what it takes and kind of sink back into despair and sink back into the same old story, the same old life. Or you can turn to God and wait on him and discover that he does have what it takes, and you can rise up into hope, rise up into a new story, a new life. There's a verse in the Bible I really like, and it speaks to this choice that we all have to make, that we're faced with every day when we feel tired and we feel weak and we feel powerless. It's in Isaiah chapter 40. We'll put it on the screen. It says, He, God, He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who wait for the Lord's help find renewed strength. They rise up as if they had eagle's wings. They run without growing weary. They walk without getting tired. When I think about this and when I read that, I can't not think about Jesus. He was arrested and he was accused and he could have fought back in his own power, but he didn't. He turned to God and he waited on God. And then he rose up onto the cross where he died for our sins. And he waited. And then he rose again on the third day to a new life. And that's our script. That's the script we need to follow. We turn to God in trust, and we experience His power, and we get to live a new story, a new life. We learn the truth of, with God, I have everything I need to do everything I need to do. We're going to give you a few minutes just to kind of sit with this, to think, to pray, and I hope to make a choice, because this is a choice you have to make. Will you rely on yourself, go for it, realize I don't really have what it takes, sink back into despair in the old storyline of the old life, or will you decide to turn to God, to wait on Him, discover that He does have what it takes, and you will rise up into hope, and into a new storyline of a new life. During this time, we'll have a song, and there's also communion available if you'd like to make that part of your experience, your worship experience today. Communion is on the candlelit tables around the room. It's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross. And it's a chance to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made in love for us, and to recommit ourselves to a life of turning to God instead of turning to ourselves. So if you'd like to take communion during this song, you can get up and get the bread and juice, bring it back to your seat, and when you're ready, you can take that. All right? So let me pray for you, and then we'll give you some time to wrestle with this and to pray, and I hope to make that decision. God, this is hard. It's hard because for a lot of us, we have repeated the same line, the same lie so many times. It is hard to stop. It's hard to imagine our lives going different. But maybe it's time to flip the script. And with you, it's not easy, but with you, it is certainly possible. So God, would you help us today to choose to make our decision, and we're going to have to make it again tomorrow, to reject the lie that I don't have what it takes, and to embrace the truth. With God, I have everything I need to do everything I need to do. God, help us to live a new story. Help us to live the life that you have for us. Help us to live the life that Jesus came and died that we might live. Thank you for communion as a reminder of His sacrifice, and that He didn't just die, He raised to a new life on the third day. And we too, if we look to you, we can rise up and live a new life. God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.